There's no right or wrong answer, but I thought Dame Lillard and Donovan Mitchell, to me, when you have the best record in basketball, that says a lot. If you're the best, you know, they have these stupid arguments about who gets MVP every year. The MVP has never went to the best player. It always went to the player who was the best player on the best team. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal should have won 3 or 4, but the other guys played better that season. Donovan Mitchell should be rewarded, in my opinion. No disrespect to anybody, but this kid's been the best player on the best team in the NBA, and it's unfortunate he's not started.
You know, he started out by saying there's no right or wrong answer. No, there is. Luka Doncic should not be starting in the All-Star game. That is 100% true, and I think everybody outside of the Dallas area would agree with that. It should be Damian Lillard or Donovan Mitchell, one of those two, but not Luka. No way.
Damian Lillard's really dragging Portland along right now. He is doing some serious work with a lot of his cast and crew out. There's a couple guys that have gotten healthy and come back into the lineup, but for the most part, he's done work through this 6-game win streak without McCollum. He's done it without Nurk. He's done it without a huge part of his supporting cast, and he's got them in the 4 seed at an 18-10 mark with a 6-game win streak. So you could definitely look at Damian Lillard, who's second in the league right now in scoring, first in the West, but second in the league. And then when you're talking about Donovan Mitchell, you could absolutely put him in there. The one thing I would disagree with Charles Barkley on that is he said Donovan's the best player on the best team in the NBA right now. I'd say that Donovan is the most flashy player on the best team in the NBA right now. But if you want to look at the best player on that team, it would be a real argument between him and Rudy Gobert. The way Rudy's been playing, Donovan has definitely carried them in certain stretches in the fourth quarter. And you can look at his clutch production and say, man, clutch production, you can't argue it. But if you could do defensive clutch production and you could talk about rebounding in the clutch, then you'd have to look just as strongly at Rudy Gobert and his influence when they've been shutting teams out in the second half, typically starting with 4 to 5 minutes left in the third quarter. And so there might be some argument there, but I don't think you can argue that Jokic deserves to be in that starting five in the All-Star game. But
totally agree with that.
But Donovan Mitchell, man, I can't. I both are going to be reserves, though, right, Scotty?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, they're both going to be on there. There's no doubt about that. And at the end of the day, I don't know how much it really matters whether I think guys want to have that label of being a starter in an All-Star game, and that carries a little bit of cachet with it, certainly. But as long as you are an All-Star, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, and they're going to get that recognition, which will be important. I'm also looking at the East. Do you have any conversation? Do you have any arguments about the East? Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, who is the league scoring leader, Kevin Durant, who was named the captain. And remember, for everybody out there, captainship comes off of overall voting. Kevin Durant led the fan vote, led overall voting. You got Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Bucks, who's starting. I think that's the right choice. And then Joel Embiid for the Philadelphia 76ers. It feels like the East got things right. It feels like the only argument and conversation would be Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the one you come back to and you're like, okay, that was a problem. That's not right. But again, does Luka deserve to be an All-Star? Sure. Does Rudy deserve? Yes. And Dame? Yeah, they all deserve to be there. One gets named a starter. So I don't know if it's worth all the vitriol. We've been coming pretty hard on it today, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter that much. It's time, you know, as long as everybody who should be in an All-Star game is in an All-Star game, that's all that matters. And that's where it ends. But still, it's just, it just shows you that the fan vote's always ridiculous. And I really think it shouldn't really exist anymore. And you can go all the way back to, the late 90s, early 2000s, when Grant Hill, who was injured every year, kept getting named as a starter when he hadn't played a single game all year.
Remember Yao Ming?
Yao Ming. I mean, it was just a crazy popularity contest. Not based on any level of play or any high level of great basketball of playing that year. It was just, who's popular? That guy. All right, throw him in.
I do want to point out that Luka Doncic and Damian Lillard, they actually finished all voting in a tie. But as you pointed out, Scotty, the tie goes to the fan base voting. And that's where the tiebreaker came in, and Luka Doncic had the edge in the fan base voting. Things are getting tough for me watching Damian Lillard a little bit. I love that he is connected to Portland, and I love that he doesn't cry and whine like guys like James Harden and force trades and make a big spectacle of himself. In his mind, he's thinking, I'm just going to win where I'm at. Find a way to win where I'm at. And I love that attitude from Damian Lillard, but it just feels like so much of the same for Dame and the Portland Trailblazers year after year after year. Yeah, he could carry them through a 7-game series against the Golden State Warriors this year, or he could carry them through a 7-game series against the San Antonio Spurs this year. But the problem is it's all on Damian. Even when McCollum is back, even when you've got Nurk, and I know that those guys were playing extremely well together at times last year and the year before, it just feels like we know what the peak and pinnacle is for Portland, and that's a second-round exit. And that's just the story for Damian. And the only reason I'm saying that from this angle is, number one, I love Damian's attitude of sticking with a program and not leaving it, or organization not leaving it. But number two, he's a local phenom. He's a local hero. And I want to see him do great things. But, man, Portland just taps out every single year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not a lot of the supporting cast really isn't there. And that's super unfortunate. They've kind of gone all in on their backcourt with CJ and Dame, and then there's always the injuries and the issues that pop up. And it's so hard not to root for Portland, and you'd really love to see him make a good extended run, but it just certainly hasn't been in the cards at all.
Hasn't, and it bums me out for Damian Lillard, but that's about all for Portland. I know that Portland's had some really ugly back and forth with the Utah Jazz over the years. And when I was just getting into the business, they were offering, I think it might have been Millsap, some type of toxic offer, and everybody hated him. And I remember thinking right out of the gates as I was learning about the NBA, I was thinking, boy, that's one of the Utah Jazz primary enemies right there. This team that's trying to make it so miserable for the Jazz to retain a guy that they want to front load an offer and make it difficult to retain him. That's ridiculous. And I know Portland's done that over the years, but I do have a soft spot for Damian Lillard. But I just know how the story's going to end. The Suns are going to bump him in the first round. Or if they just by chance get past the Suns, then it'll probably be the Clippers bumping them in the second round. I kind of feel bad that that's the case, but that's the case for Damian.
Yeah, Is that just kind of how the NBA is? I mean, there might be people having that conversation about the Jazz right now.
Yeah, could be right.
I mean, I think that's just, we hope that's not the case with the Jazz, but there might be a certain element of, hey, look, their start of the season's been great and what they're doing is really cool, but at the end of the day, is anybody not named the Lakers going to represent the Western Conference in the finals? Probably not. I mean, I think that just goes back to the whole parity issue in the league. The NBA is great when it's the, it'll be awesome if it's the Lakers and Brooklyn, because millions and millions of people are going to watch it, and it'll be great for ratings. It would not be great for ratings if it's the Jazz and Milwaukee in the NBA Finals. But is that good for the overall health of your league? Well, maybe, because it seems like it's working, but I have a hard time. It's like how you feel at the college football playoff when it's Alabama and Clemson every year. Here we go again. And it just, I think for some people it'd be nice if you kind of turn this thing upside down every now and then.
You do get a little bit tired of it, don't you? But I do feel like there is a point of that. Like, everybody's watching the Utah Jazz right now, and I think Jazz fans believe that they've got a chance. I think even to a large degree, I am more and more gaining on the belief that, that they have a chance. But everybody feels like the Lakers, they're Christina Aguilera in the song Lady Marmalade. You know, you start out the show in the song with Lil' Kim doing her thing, and Maya and Pink are singing, and they've got all great, really good voices. And you got this beautiful buildup, but then in walks the queen, Christina Aguilera, who blows everybody out of the water with her vocal ability. And you're like, well, what was anybody even doing in that room with her? We all knew Christina was in the back in her beauty room getting her hair did. And we knew that she was going to step on the stage and blow everybody out of the water with her vocal arrangement. And I think that there's a bit to that, you know, where everybody thinks the Lakers are Christina Aguilera, and eventually they're just going to storm out on the stage and outsing everybody. And I'm hoping that Pink stops Christina Aguilera right at the gates, shoves her back into her beauty room, and it continues to take over on her vocal range, you know?
Didn't see that coming.
So...
That was really in-depth breakdown. I did not see that coming at all. I don't even know how to respond to that. I didn't even know Pink was in that song or Lil' Kim.
You being serious?
Like, yeah, no, I had no idea. Like,
I thought that you liked Moulin Rouge, the movie.
I've never seen Moulin Rouge, the movie.
Oh, okay, well. Count me as mistaken. I thought that you knew that.
I mean,
that
it's not that I have anything against it. It just hasn't really come up as anything I'd be overly interested in watching, let alone breaking down the hierarchy of the singers in such great and immense detail as that.
Well, I will admit to you that, and you've got to remember that Lady Marmalade came out when you and I were big-time MTV watchers, and those all four of those vocalists had very good voices, and that was quite the song that they put together. Sorry, I went down a kind of an unexpected path, but and maybe comparing the Lakers to Christina Aguilera in the song Lady Marmalade isn't the best, but that's what came to mind. I apologize.
It's a lot like how oh, I shouldn't even mention this. That probably wouldn't be a good idea. Just talk about how Carrie Underwood singing the Sunday Night Football theme.
Okay, so I don't understand. I wasn't even attacking you with the Lady Marmalade thing. You're attacking me with the Carrie Underwood.
I'm not.
Thing.
I'm just asking. I'm just trying to find any other way.
Show by 1 o'clock. Okay, gotcha.
Any comparison there? I just couldn't quite think of anything.
You know, Carrie Underwood shouldn't be able to hold Faith Hill's underwear, and you know that.
Like, that's frowned upon, regardless.
Well, she's terrible. Faith should still be doing that opening song for Sunday Night Football.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah, man, she's
I think
the
Faith is a tremendous singer. 100%. Just getting a little long in the tooth, that's all.
Do you think that the NBA world is looking at the Utah Jazz like that, though? Like, patting them on the head, like, this is a really cute little performance, guys. Really cute.
I think that absolutely. Like, I mean, just go and whatever talking head show you want to watch, and well, they'll draw out the question, like, hey, are you buying or are you selling? The Jazz is a title contender, and everybody's like, I'll sell. You know, like nobody actually thinks the Jazz have a chance to win a title this year from the, you know, your national talking heads, which also includes a high level of former NBA players as well. And I think there's a high level of respect for LeBron James and the fact that I think a lot of people haven't done a lot of research on this Jazz team. I think we've seen other teams have really good regular season runs, and it hasn't translated at times to the NBA playoffs. So I don't think their criticism is unfounded, but I also think that this Jazz team is built to win and win at a high level and contend for a title. Do I think they're going to beat the Lakers in a 7-game series? I don't know. But I sure think that if they don't make a Western Conference Finals, I think we're at a point now where I think we all have a right to be a little disappointed.
I've got a buddy. A buddy and I were talking about this, Scotty, the Jazz and their run right now, and he asked me what they need to do to legitimize themselves. And this is the only answer, the only true answer to that. The only way for the Utah Jazz to be legitimate, to legitimize their team, is to actually win it, is to do it. Otherwise, you're the team that had a couple of great moments, but that's all you had. And until they win it, I'm not talking about the NBA championship. I'm talking about the Western Conference Finals, getting themselves to an NBA title, but winning a Western Conference Final, some actual hardware. Until you do it, I think that it's just kind of a nice story. And I don't think that there's a regular season win or a regular season stretch that we can all look at and say, oh, that's legitimized. I'm talking about a legitimate contender. Until you do it, I don't know if you can actually say, well, this is a team that should do it, or that it's a legitimate team. I still think you have to do it in order to be legitimately looked at. Now, the fan base can look at it the way they want to look at it, but we can't sit here and force everybody's hand to jump in, even though I know they're number one on all the power polls. I think I saw that story this morning somewhere that every single NBA ranking power poll has the Utah Jazz number one right now.
Yeah.
I think everybody's just looking at it as a cute little run and a cute story, and they're excited for Utah to finally get put back in their place when the postseason rolls around.
Yeah. 1228, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I'm here in Boise, Utah State. Yes, Greg, I'm here in Boise still. Utah State and Boise State will have round number two coming up later on tonight. Hans, you're back in Salt Lake City hanging out with the guys at RGS.
Yeah, and we're sitting here with Ross, and Ross and I were just talking about some of the gutter issues that people face out there. And what I love about RGS is it's not just about the gutters. It's all siding. You know, we can help you with any part of the siding. But, Ross, I want to do this. So if I've got a gutter problem, or if I've got a complete siding redesign, or I want to take off stucco and add stone to the front of my house, how much would an estimate be to have you guys come out and just look at my home?
So can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. So when we come out to your house, you schedule an appointment, you call the office, schedule an appointment, and we send an estimator out. Those estimates are free. So we do make sure that we have the homeowner there, the buying parties there, because we're gonna dedicate 2 hours or 4 hours to you and to your home, to what you want us to take a look at. So we're gonna make sure you're there. So if you can't be there, we probably won't set up that appointment, because we don't want to just fly by and go by and without being able to talk to you. Because our first thing we're gonna do when we get out there is we're gonna talk to you about what your problems are or what you're looking at doing. We don't want to just drive by and like, oh, it looks like we can slap some gutter on that thing and then throw you a number. That's not how we do our business. So any estimate we give you, that estimate itself is free. So you don't pay anything to us until you decide to go ahead with the work. And at that point, then we'll work out a deposit and a payment system for you, whether it be whether you're going to pay cash or you're going to pay with a credit card or you're going to do financing. And that's one thing that we offer is financing. We can work out a term with you. We have a couple companies that we go through that you can do equal payments up to a year. And we can do that, or no interest payments for a year, excuse me, not up to a year. But so we have different options for you, but that estimate's always free. We want to make sure you're the right customer. We'll kind of screen the people that call in to make sure that we're the right company for them, first of all, that they can wait for the time it takes for us to get out there and do the estimate and wait for the time it takes to do production. And then we'll come out there, send an estimator out there, and that estimate is free.
It's really awesome, the kind of options that you provide for people out there, because sometimes people are like, well, we just can't afford to get it done right now. With some great, as you mentioned, no interest financing available for a year, other kind of options out there to make sure people get the repairs and the work done they need to immediately. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we like to give everybody the, you know, some people have their, they're built up for a remodel. Some people run into a problem, and they're maybe not quite ready to handle that financially, and that's where those financing options come in. Maybe why spend your money if you can spend someone else's, right? I mean, that's the reason for financing.
There you go. Well, so many great options out there for people out there, and all we ask you to do is get to the website, check it out right now, and find out what's best for you, and find out what RGS can do for you. The crew is ready to help you out with whatever you need, and a great opportunity to just get a quote done and see where you're at and see what your options are. Go to rgsutahsiding.com. That's rgsutahsiding.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Donovan constantly talks about how good he is at baseball. And I was like, I would 100% be able to hit one of your, what do you call it, a pitch? One of your
fastball.
Pitches? Fastball, yeah. And he's like, no, you wouldn't. I said, well, let's bet. And the bet was he had 10 pitches and I had to connect on one of them. I'm not saying I'm going to smack him for a home run and run around the triangle thing with my shirt off.
Bases.
It's a diamond. It's not a triangle
whatever
thing.
Run around the sand pit. The other thing with throwing 10 straight is he's going to get tired. He doesn't play baseball for a living.
Hey, neither do you.
But I'm just standing there with a
Hey!
One out of 10. That's it. One. I know I can't run and jump and all that, but I can stand there and hit a ball.
Have a great bleeping day, Joe.
Joe Bleeping Ingles has joined us here on 97.5 and 1280 The Bleeping Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Catch jazz man Joe Ingles with DJ and PK on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
360!
It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It is Sports Roulette. We take some of the storylines we have not had a chance to get to, put it on a nice little roulette wheel, spin it, and see where that little white ball lands. It's all brought to you by Davis Vision. Now through the end of February, you can get $1,000 off that LASIK procedure. Call 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080 or online at davisvisionmd.com. All right, with that, Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
Didn't think I'd see this.
Well, Scotty, it was announced earlier today that the NCAA Tournament Committee has agreed to allow 25% capacity fan base into the NCAA Tournament games. All rounds and the Final Four. I don't know what they currently have for the National Championship game, but all rounds and the Final Four right now, they're going to allow up to 25% capacity. Now, they've got the physical distancing and they got all those other things going. This does include all the support staff. And you know, when you're looking at 25%, it's going to include everybody that's there in the arena. But I didn't see this coming. 25%. Did you expect to see 25% capacity at the NCAA tournament?
Nope, I did not. I thought for sure they'd play that without fans. But the NCAA needs to recoup a little bit of money for sure. And it just kind of goes to show you what kind of trajectory we're on. You know, cases are down significantly. It seems like we're getting into read a story in the Wall Street Journal today, how where they're essentially saying one of their writers said that the pandemic is now nearing the end. And I know we got the variants and there's a lot of things to be worried about, but people are loosening things up a little bit. And NCAA, you know, brought everybody in, and these teams are going to be treated like they're in a bubble. I was talking to somebody the other day about some of the plans that are going to be laid out for some of these teams, and it is going to be really strict on these teams. But they also understand that they feel like we're in a place where we can bring some fans in there. So I imagine the tickets for some of those games are going to be pretty impressive. So I would say if you're a BYU fan, you probably better be ready to spend a little bit of money if you want to go see your team go play in the NCAA tournament, because scarcity is going to be pretty ridiculous at some of these games.
And how excited are some people going to be to get in to that NCAA tournament and watch it? They're going to pay a premium.
Yeah.
They'll be willing to pay the premium because they're excited to get out to an event. And now that we've got vaccinations across the country, you've got educators, health workers, 65 plus now for the most part that are having access to the vaccine. So by the time they kick that tournament off, you could really have people that love the tournament that have been vaccinated that feel confident and comfortable going to the arena. And also, I'm sure that the NCAA tournament just watched the Super Bowl pull off their capacity and thought, what the heck, man? So you're telling me they put 22,000 into that Super Bowl, into Raymond James Stadium, and we can't even put 500 into a 19, 20,000 seat arena? Well, obviously they're taking a note from that and seeing how that all went. It does take a lot of work, Scotty. I had a chance to go through the protocol at Raymond James Stadium just a few weeks before the Super Bowl. I guess I've been a month before the Super Bowl, a month and a half. So January 1st, Super Bowl. Yeah, so about a month and a couple of days. But they had already instituted the protocol because they wanted to run a prototype for the Citrus Bowl that they had at Raymond James.
Yeah.
And I had to go through that. The amount of people they have to employ to have 5 checkpoints, temperatures, checkpoints, wristbands, I mean, all the things that you go through, it's got to be extremely expensive to put things in place to have the fans in attendance. So, but I do think it's worth it at the end of the day if you can charge a premium for the ticket. Supply and demand, and you can boost the ticket, and people will buy it.
By the way, speaking of COVID, Major League Baseball just started spring training, and they tested 4,336 players coming into spring training.
Mm-hmm.
13 came back positive, 0.3%.
Wow.
I think that's pretty good considering the amount of players you're bringing back in.
13 total positives out of over 4,300, you said?
4,336.
That's incredible. And
it really is.
I know you were mentioning this yesterday, and I know you were going to pull up some numbers and show it to me. But you were mentioning to me yesterday that our nation's totals are definitely tumbling.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
Will you watch?
So I'm kind of curious. I watched a segment on TV today about the opening of the FCS season, but it was focused in on Jackson State. And why are people paying attention to Jackson State? Well, they are coached by Deion Sanders, who will begin his head coaching career at Jackson State coming up on Sunday when his team plays, I believe, a Division II team. So that is coming up on Sunday. I don't know if this is on TV, but I'm just going to assume it'll be available somewhere because it is Deion Sanders. Hands, would you watch a FCS team with Jackson State playing Edward Waters College out of Jacksonville, Florida, just because Deion Sanders is the coach?
Nothing else is going?
It's on Sunday. I don't know what you're competing against. Sunday afternoon, let's say 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock Eastern, so high noon.
I'm going to run a few things that would take precedence, okay?
Okay.
Jazz game.
Okay.
BYU, Utah State basketball game.
Okay.
The PGA Tour. Let's see. It would beat bowling. It would beat billiards. It would beat darts. It would beat lacrosse. It would beat soccer.
Even the Red Widow or Black Widow?
The Black Widow. Look, if I had a chance to watch the Black Widow in some type of reunited tour as she's dealing with stage 4 cancer, I would probably put her above Deion Sanders, but there's not a ton of things. Let's see. I would watch it right now. I'd watch it over UFC unless there was really a fight that I wanted to see in UFC. action. It would take precedence over probably 99.9% of boxing matchups. So it's up there, buddy.
Yeah,
it's up there a ways.
I'm watching it. This is a team that went 4-8 last year, and so they weren't a particularly good team. I'm curious to see how Deion Sanders does in this position. I think it'll be really interesting to see. So, I think it's going to be kind of fun to watch.
The only thing I really know about Jackson State is the greatest running back in the history of football. The history of football, in my opinion, came from Jackson State.
Yep. Sweetness.
That is Sweetness, Walter Payton. My all-time favorite running back, the greatest to play the game. I know everybody's got their opinion, but, man, I loved watching him run.
There for a moment, I was hoping you were going to say, when you said, you know, one of the greatest players, I thought you were going to say, please be Pork Chop Womack. Please let it be him.
You know what's interesting about him? Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, how about my old teammate sitting right next to me and go, yeah, he really got you there, didn't he?
Yeah, Brandon Doman kind of threw you under the bus on that one.
That was the worst.
All right, Lloyd, spin it.
Jordan Clarkson over Anthony Davis?
This was interesting as the TNT guys last night, again, were debating NBA All-Stars, and here's the case made for Jordan Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson going with the guy who's probably going to be the sixth man of the year.
That's why I put him on there. He's been the best bench player in the NBA this year. They got the best record in the NBA. You know, most people don't know that he has been fantastic this year. That's why I got him on my list.
And true to your word, you did not have Anthony Davis on your list as
he's not played
as
like
a reserve.
An All-Star. This ain't Lifetime Achievement Award.
You think that?
That's not the point. We're talking about who having the best year. We're talking about who's having the best year. Not who's a better player.
I didn't say that. Okay. That doesn't matter either.
Not who's the best player. It's who's having the best year. That's how.
No. Say it again.
Jordan Clarkson is having a great year. I want to reward him.
Okay.
Over Anthony Davis.
Yes. Is Anthony Davis a better player? Yes. But Anthony Davis has not played like an All-Star this year.
He's not playing an Anthony Davis All-Star.
Well, then, so what are we voting on?
You can't compare. You're comparing him to himself.
Yeah.
You got to compare him to the field.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Jordan Clarkson's having a better year.
I mean, that's the debate right there. I mean, that's spot on, the debate with the All-Star, debate with the MVP. And to Charles' credit, like, he's being consistent. I mean, he's talking about MVPs, you know, in regards to, like, the best player doesn't always win the MVP. And that's right. Or else Michael Jordan would have won 13 consecutive MVP awards. But Michael Jordan didn't always have the best year. And that's what it's all about. And that's why I think some of this voting stuff can be fun, because it's, are you voting for the best players in the league, or are you voting for the guys that are having the best year? And to me, an MVP, especially when it's in the middle of a year, should go to people who are having the best year. I believe I'm with Chuck on this one.
The teams that are having the best year and the best player on that team, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like, I think the players that are having the best year playing for the best teams should receive that. That's what your basis should be. And maybe not even who's having the best, you know, who's on the best teams, but just who's having the best year right now. And those should be your All-Stars. If Anthony Davis, who hasn't played up to Anthony Davis standards and hasn't played and is still dealing with that Achilles issue, and it's not just because it's Jordan Clarkson. I just think that Anthony Davis hasn't been an All-Star this year.
Well, I think it was announced earlier today Anthony Davis would be off the court now for, I think, 4 weeks or so. And when he's on the court, man, I can understand the conversation there, because every one of us, if we were picking on the playground and you got Anthony Davis sitting there and you got Jordan Clarkson sitting there, every single one of us appointed Anthony Davis.
Yes.
You know, and say, hey, you're on my team. Because we know as far as an all-around defender, all-around player, at the rim, hitting threes, shooting, defending, all the things that Anthony Davis does, he can do better to a certain extent. Now, Jordan Clarkson creates a shot, which is incredible, and he's so unique offensively, but I can understand why the debate goes, but I do love how Charles Barkley he doesn't even care. Just dig his heels and be like, no, it's Jordan Clarkson. And they're like, you hear that silence.
Yeah.
And I love that crew. All of them just staring there with their mouths agape, just looking at him like, are you saying Jordan Clarkson over Anthony Davis? Like, you want to reassess that? And he just doubles down. But I also understand his argument too, though, Scotty. I really do. I get it. I'm not going to wrong him for that.
Hands and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. And I like Charles. Even if Charles doesn't believe it, I like that he's running with it, just if nothing else, and to try to tick off Kenny and Shaq.
Well, it doesn't matter how stupid the comment he made was. It'll never be as stupid as some of the comments that Shaquille O'Neal has made at the beginning of this season. Like, you know, if Charles really gets into a bind, somebody needs to send a tweet to Charles and remind him that he's got this fuel and he can throw it back at Shaq and be like, hey, do you remember when you gave zero credit to Utah? Like, zero credit?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he motivated the Jazz. Come on.
Oh, but yeah. Yeah, he
was helping them.
Say thanks, Utah. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Take a quick break, come back. Hey, in the 1 o'clock hour, Tim Lacombe will join us coming up at about 1:05 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Sam Amick. I still see national pundits compare the Jazz to the Hawks of a few years ago that were so good but ended up flaming out. Is this a case where the Jazz really can't win those people over to their side? Because 20 of 21, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Donovan Starr does continue to get brighter, but it's not as bright as a James Harden or a LeBron. If you ask the casuals why Utah is winning every night, they say, tell me what LeBron's doing. But they're earning respect on a nightly basis. They're winning even when they don't play all that well, which is a sign of a really good team. They're winning when they got guys out of the lineup. They seem to also keep their perspective on the big picture and know you don't win a championship a couple months into the regular season.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hey, by the way, yesterday or 2 days ago, the governor announced that if you are between the ages now, it was from 70 up, got the vaccine. Now they dropped it down to 65 and up can now get the vaccine. Gordon was able to get the vaccine when it was 85 or above. But overall, that's a lot of people that I'm sure are excited to get the vaccine. I was just reading this story out of Orange County, Florida, Hans. The sheriff's office detained but then decided not to charge two women in their early 20s who dressed up as grandmothers, lied about their age, to go and get the vaccine. They were able to sneak by enough to actually get the first dose of the vaccine until the cops realized what was going on. They detained them. I was just watching the body camera footage of them just scaring the bejeebers out of these women who dressed up as grandmothers, falsified their age to get the vaccine.
Oh man, is this a true story?
Yeah, I'll send you the video.
So is this 70-year-old grandmothers or 65-year-old grandmothers? Like, are this the 85-year-old category?
It looks like, and one of them had already gotten rid of their costume. The other one's still holding on to it. And she's got a visor, but she's got a gray wig on. And
okay,
and
so, 70 years ago, would Gordon have done this?
Snuck in?
Probably for the bubonic
plague. You know, at the age of
vaccine.
7 years ago, he still would have been under the over the 70 mark. So,
for typhoid fever, scurvy,
Spanish flu. He's like, Gordon's been through a lot of them. He's been through a lot of them. That's unbelievable. I guess if you're that desperate, you know. Yeah, have you ever watched Little Rascals when they tried to dress up like the older guy and go in and get a loan at the bank?
I did not.
You are full of weird references today. Just full of them.
What's weird with that? Well, we're talking about people dressing up to be somebody they're not, and Spanky got on top of Alfalfa's shoulders, and they went in to try to open up
Other account. Way around, because Spanky was carrying a little extra LBs there. Probably should have been Alfalfa.
Well, they had a hat on. I think Alfalfa's little pointy hair thing wouldn't fit in the hat or something.
Oh, that's
I would also argue that even though Spanky's got a baby face, it's more mature than Alfalfa. But anyways, they wanted to open up a loan so that they could rebuild their clubhouse, and they dressed up like an older gentleman. I can't believe anybody would buy that. Like, you would know instantly.
Were they able to secure a loan?
No. No, they got drug out by their ear and got a good talking to.
A good talking to?
Yeah. Did you say you sent me this video? So you said there are 20-year-old girls?
Sent it to you yet. I was going to send it to you during the break.
20-year-old girls. Man, you know you are going to be public enemy number one if you're trying to skate the rules as a young individual to get a vaccine that could stop the virus from hitting a 70-year-old. That's not going to be a good look for anybody.
No. Nope. Not good. No bueno. All right, Hans and Scotty, the great Tim Lacombe is going to join us coming up next. But, Hans, I know you're back there at RGS Exteriors and all kinds of great opportunities to improve your home, courtesy of RGS.
Hanging out with Ross. Ross, how are we doing, man? You hanging in there okay?
Yeah, it's a Friday, right?
Yeah.
It's always good. It's a Friday.
It's a beautiful Friday, and I know that your crews are out there working on gutters as we speak, right?
Yeah, it's been a rough week for installation this week. I mean, my guys work every day when it's safe, but we finally got a little bit of snow down in the valley to affect some things, but we're still working through it, pushing through, and it looks like good weather next week, so we're excited about that.
I kind of want to reach out to everybody out there that's dealing with something on their exterior. Maybe they don't like the look of their exterior. Maybe they don't like the insulation of their exterior. It's just letting too much weather come through. Maybe they don't like their gutters. They don't like the look or the functionality. This is where you need to start, is right here with Ross and the crew at RGS. Just call them. If somebody calls in right now, what kind of process will they go through to get started?
Well, so they'll talk to one of the girls in the office, and they'll just ask them what their concerns are, what their problems are, what their expectations are, and then we can set up an appointment with one of our estimators. And our estimators, depending on what you're after, you know, they're going to be a couple weeks out at the most, you know, right now. And I think we're going to set a time that works for them. So it might push out a little further if you have to have a specific time that works for your work schedule. But we'll set that estimate up and make sure you're going to be there. And then we'll send our estimators out there to talk to you about your problems. Again, we want to address your concerns first of all. We don't want to, put a patch on something that's not going to be your solution. We want to make sure you're happy with their end result. So we'll do an assessment, you know, get some measurements, take some pictures, and if it's a remodel, something you're looking to get some ideas on, then, you know, we can schedule a follow-up appointment with them at that point. But we try to set aside, like I said, a couple hours or 4 hours if needed, if it's a siting job, to make sure we can address that on our first visit. So,
you know, this is I had a situation when we had those windstorms back in September. I had a tree that a branch came down and took off probably about a 4-foot part of my of a rain gutter, and I called Tim, and Tim had some guy had a guy come over and check it out, and they replaced the rain gutter. They had the paint that matched. I mean, if you looked over there, it was completely seamless. It was done in a matter of just an hour or so. The efficiency that it was done, the price point was incredible. I mean, it was just amazing how quickly it was addressed, taken care of. It wasn't a huge project by any stretch of the imagination. It was enough that kind of still fell under your umbrella a little bit, but it was amazing how quickly and how perfectly done the job was.
Well, good. It's good to hear. You know, I made sure I didn't send my worst crew to you. I'm just kidding. I don't have any bad crews. Who am I kidding?
Yeah. You could send the JV squad over. I'm sure they're still great. You know, it's all good.
That's right.
I show up. I show up with an RGS shirt.
Like, hands off the ladder. No, man. No.
This is a little awkward. I didn't realize I was coming out to your house this week.
I'm glad I sent the gutter crew to your house and not the stucco crew.
There you go.
You can send them out, too.
Yeah, if my wife calls and wants the Harding crew coming out, just maybe let's wait a little bit on that one. We'll make it happen for sure. I mean, there's so many great things going on at RGS. All you have to do is get to their website and let's make it happen. RGSUtahSiding.com. That's RGSUtahSiding.com. Right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.